Welcome to the Kingdom Culture Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this spirit-filled message, that it blesses your week and brings you joy and perspective. To connect with us, hop on social media, and for more information, head to kingdomculturechurch.com.au.
Good to see you all. Can I get a little more house lights, please, guys, just so I can see all of your beautiful, lovely faces? We have just finished our expansion series. So we've had 4 weeks of different topics under expansion series. We've had faith, finance, fulfillment, and family. And it's been an awesome time. You can catch that on the podcast if you missed any of those weeks. And it's just it's been a beautiful launching pad out of our Vision Sunday, which we were talking about expansion years. Pastor Rob really felt over us that this year and coming years is years of expansion for our church, for our family, internally, in our hearts, inside this building, and also externally as well. And so it's been a really really beautiful time. And I want to just, I guess, kind of launch right off our last week's session, which was family. We talked about expansion and family, and tonight, if it's okay, I actually have quite a lot I'd love to dive into. And it's in around the subject of covenant. So my message tonight is called Covenant versus Contract. And I really believe that you might be thinking, what the heck is that word? Or like, oh, I've kind of heard that word. Maybe I read it somewhere in the Old Testament. But I believe it's actually a really important foundational truth for expansion. It's really important for us to understand this to then build upon. I want to dive in tonight, and if you want to take notes, you're welcome to. I encourage that. I'm going to cover a fair bit, so come along for the ride. I'm just going to pray really quickly because Holy Spirit is going to have to help me get through everything. So, Holy Spirit, we just invite your presence. We thank you. We welcome you. You are always welcome in our meetings. Come and speak to us tonight. Breathe on these words. Lord, I don't want to speak words if you're not breathing on it, and if it's not, by your spirit. So I thank you that the cleverest words suck without your spirit. So we just pray for your Holy Spirit to be on everything tonight, and that you be moving in this place. Amen. Amen. All right, so what is a covenant, and why is it important to us in 2019? Well, I did some reading up on a website called Up Council, which is, it says, legal advice for the 21st century. It's like all online stuff. And so it's actually not like a Christian website. It was just a legal website, which I thought was interesting that they had stuff on contracts and covenants and the differences. But I'm just going to read you a little bit of information that I found on the web. So thank you, Google, not Yahoo. Thank you, Google. Contracts. So contracts and covenants are not the same things. Here is some of the fundamental differences. Covenants are a type of contract, but they do not work like a contract. They are a trust-based promise that relies on your integrity and discipline. While contracts are enforceable by the courts, covenants depend on your values. So if you could just put that chart up for me, guys. There's a little chart that I want to show you. Ooh, hello. Cool. Lots of words. So it was formatted with lines, which made it a little less overwhelming. Sorry if it seems overwhelming. So contract versus covenant. So I'm just going to read you guys through it. And you might be like, why are we learning about this? I promise it will be relevant. Contract, it's legally binding. Covenant, it's a spiritual agreement. A contract is an agreement between two parties. A covenant is a pledge between two parties. A contract can be broken. A covenant is a perpetual promise. You sign a contract, you seal a covenant. I'll go into that a little more. Contract exchanges one good for another. A covenant is giving oneself to the other. Contract, the party not getting their needs met can opt out of a contract if one party is not fulfilling their part in the deal. Covenant, the party not getting their needs met support the failing party so they can meet their obligation that they committed to. I know. Thank you. Up Council, legal website. Go Google. The word covenant in the Old Testament was berith, You guys can chuck that up there if you want. And it appears actually about 280 times in the Old Testament. So it has a pretty strong feature, breathe. And then in the New Testament, we see it about 30 times. It's diatheke. Hey, I had to Google how to pronounce these. I was like listening on my phone, like, how do you say that weird word? Diatheke. Covenants in biblical times, as we said before, were sealed. We're often sealed. And this might sound a little archaic and crazy, but I'm just going to tell you all about it. When they would cut a covenant, there would be often a severing of an animal. So there would actually be like a sacrifice, like a blood sacrifice, with the implication, I know it gets hectic, hold on, that the party who breaks the covenant will suffer a similar fate. Ooh, Old Testament, hey. In Hebrew, the verb meaning to seal a covenant translates literally as to cut. It is presumed by Jewish scholars, it's getting more weird, that the removal of the foreskin or circumcision symbolically represents such a sealing of the covenant. Just some fun facts for you. I wanted to add all of that in. I actually made a covenant 3 years ago, nearly to the day. I'm about a month out from 3 years to the day, to my lovely husband, Daniel Jacob Rayner. Yeah, he's awesome. I made a public covenant. Some of you would have definitely been there when I did it. And I thought I'd actually, just for fun, actually read out the covenant that I made tonight. And there should be some photos because I'm a cute girl and it's definitely like, it's very exposed. Woo, contrast. But yeah, we've been married 3 years, and so I thought I would just for fun, read you a little bit of my covenant, my vows. Daniel Jacob Rayner, today is the day I take you to be my husband. I choose you now and all the days of my life. With all my heart, I promise to keep God on the throne of my life, to worship Him and Him alone, to spend my life growing in love as He imparts to us both the deepest understanding of His ways. I promise to stare into His face until I'm made radiant and the best wife to you I can possibly be. He came up with this whole idea of marriage, and I'm not going to try and do it without Him. I commit to pray with you, laugh with you, and dream with you, to treasure you and honor you, to be your most faithful listener and your greatest encourager, cheering you on always. I promise to look to Jesus as my standard for love, to always protect, always trust, always hope, and always persevere the way He does, to love you the way you want to be loved, not just the way I want to show you love. I promise to dance in the kitchen with you and to let you dip me, even when we're old and fragile, and even if you sometimes drop me. It's happened. Sometimes on purpose, I'm not even kidding. He's passive. He's like, ha, 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 ha. I'm like, because I'd said something mean or something. Okay. Thank you for being so patient and kind, so humble and yet strong. The value you place on pleasing God, especially in marriage and family, inspires me. I know that wherever we go in life, you will continue to be a man of integrity. I trust you and love you wholeheartedly. I commit to fighting for a strong connection with you, even when it's uncomfortable and even when it's hard work. I promise to prioritize our relationship above every other person so that our marriage screams Jesus to the world. Amen. So we call them vows now, but don't stay with Dan because I signed a piece of paper that was like a legal contract. That commitment, that vow, was actually me engaging in a covenant with Dan. That, let's be real, sometimes like all of those lovely words are not what I feel like. Like, it's a lovely thing to promise. And we've had a really beautiful 3 years. I have really been blessed. But there have been some challenges. Like, ask the people who really know us. Ask my parents who, like, will get into the car and we're meant to be on a double date. And they're like, ooh, you could cut the tension with a knife. They're like, do you need a minute? And Dan's like, he's like, yes, we do. And I'm like, no, it's fine. And Dan's like, yeah, guys, give us five. There have been times where, like, I don't really feel like all of that. There have been times where I have felt misunderstood by Dan, and Dan's felt misunderstood by me. There have been times where we don't feel like we're getting each other. We're not on the same page. There have been times where I've felt more understood actually by other people, not by, like, more understood by somebody else than Dan. Is this too honest? How are you guys going? There are times where I felt like he hasn't appreciated my talents. And there's times where he's felt like I haven't been appreciating all of his giftings and talents. But the beauty of marriage is that our covenant is bigger and stronger than our feelings. Our promise to each other is actually all of the beautiful days that we've had, all of the ability to understand each other and see eye to eye. And when people go like, oh, wow, you guys have an awesome marriage. Or if you have ever looked at another couple and thought like, wow, they have such an awesome marriage. It's not actually just the awesomeness of like the great days that then that's why they stick together at the covenant. It's actually the inverse. The covenant and the promise produces the fruit. The covenant and the promise produces the good days. If you want a marriage, and I'm not just talking about marriage tonight, you might be like, oh, this is so not relevant. But I promise there is more coming just for you that is relevant to everybody in this room. But we'll just talk about marriage for this analogy. If you want a marriage that lasts, if you want something that sustains the test of fire and time, you recognize that it's actually the promise that produces the fruit. The fruit doesn't sustain the promise. Because there are seasons where the little marriage tree is going through a winter season and the leaves aren't there. It's a deciduous tree. The leaves have fallen off. And it's like, is this tree awesome? Right now it doesn't look awesome. It kind of just looks like a bunch of sticks. But it takes faith and commitment to that promise and that covenant to go, actually, there is a lot of life in this tree. And you just watch as the springtime comes. And this tree is going to bear some beautiful fruit as we stick it through the winter. So that's my first point tonight. So if you're taking notes, you can chuck that one in your notebook or in your iPad. Covenant produces fruit. The fruit doesn't sustain the covenant. For me and Dan, I think a lot, again, of the fruit of our marriage. And you're probably all thinking, whoa, you told us all these horrible things about your marriage. I wouldn't want that marriage, but just before. But it's actually a really awesome marriage, and I'm really blessed. And I think part of the reason why it's a good marriage, and I can look at other people's marriages, like Kimmy and Steve and Craig and Trish and my parents who are here tonight. Do you guys want to give it up for my parents? They're the best. I really believe that a big component to their marriages being really beautiful and sustaining the years is that there wasn't like another option. There wasn't like a back door in their minds of, well, if this doesn't work out, I'm just going to plan B. It's actually like, no, this is the promise. This is option A. And that, again, when we stick to our promises and our commitments, and again, I'm going somewhere with this. This isn't all about marriage tonight. It yields incredible fruit. So, covenant. It's a much bigger thing than a marriage thing. I don't have all the time in the world tonight, so I can't go through everything. I'd love to do like take you on a real journey of the covenants in the Bible, but I'm just going to briefly mention them. I'm not going to have time to go into each one, but their covenant. There are six major covenants throughout the Bible, and I would say it's arguably the backbone of the Bible. The covenants that God makes with humanity are actually what shape the entire journey and the narrative of our Bible. So I'm just going to just touch on the six really quickly. There's the creation covenant that God made with us, with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. There's the covenant he made with Noah that he wouldn't destroy the, he would never destroy the earth ever again with a flood. He would never wipe out humanity again. There's the covenant that he made with Abraham to make him into a great nation with descendants as many as the stars in the sky. There's the covenant he made with Israel or Jacob and the nation of Israel. There's the covenant he made with David. And with David, he spoke about a descendant that would come through his line that would rule on the throne forever. And then there's the new covenant, which we are all a part of and we all partake in. And my personal favorite, it's really good. I don't have time to go through it. Like, this is a huge, beautiful, beautiful study. And I encourage you, if you're interested in this, like, there is resources, like, on Google. Type it in, have a look, dig in, because it's actually really edifying and encouraging to see the differences as well. And it also will help you, just a little extra FYI, it'll help you when reading the Bible to understand why language is different in different sections of the Bible, because there's different we're actually living in different covenants. So it's actually really important to have the understanding that we're living in the new covenant, and so we read the other covenants through the lens of the new covenant. That's actually really important. But understanding why where the new covenant even came from, and understanding how really, really good the new covenant is, and why Jesus even had to die, which, like, with no context, sounds a little barbaric. Understanding all of the other covenants and understanding the journey of humanity really frames the new covenant, and it actually leads to this pinnacle of gratefulness and thankfulness and being utterly undone by the goodness of who God is and his kindness to send his son to die for us and reconcile the world unto the Father. God loves covenant. He really does. As you can see, he's made a few. And I believe that he loves covenant between humans because it actually points back to him. I want to read you a little verse. Ephesians 5, 25 to 27. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. Husbands, love your wives, the Jesse Rose version, because the stakes are high here. You are my reflection of how I feel about my girl, the church. How you love your wife speaks to the world about how I feel about the church, how I feel about my radiant bride without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. How beautiful. Marriage is a reflection of his covenant with us. So point two, if you're writing notes, covenant reflects God's heart. Covenant reflects God's heart. I actually want to read another passage to you. And I feel like this was the verse that I felt like could sum up the new covenant promise to us in just one little chunk of passage. And it is so glorious and good. And if you want to get excited about it as I read it, you're more than welcome to, because it is wonderful. It's Ezekiel 6, 25 to 29. And this is God's promise to us. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanness, and from all your idols I will cleanse you. And I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. You shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. You shall be my people, and I will be your God. How beautiful. I just love how much you see that pledge language there. He's actually not saying, like, And then you're going to remove your heart of stone, and you're going to need to walk in my statutes, and you're going to need to be careful to me. He's actually saying, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. We have a beautiful song that's going to be on this next record that Brad and Abby wrote together. And the language in the verse, it's called Be Thou My Strength. And in the verse, the lyrics say, in my own strength, I could not produce the faith. Which one? What was it? Oh, I could not create the faith. I'm mixing the two verses. In my own strength, I could not create the faith to follow blindly, but you give it freely. In my own strength, I could not produce the will to love you rightly. Instead, you pursue me. Like, we're actually stuffed on our own. We're actually stuffed on our own. In our marriages, in our friendships, in our church relationships together and our commitment to building something, and in our ability to please God. But the beauty is that God made a covenant, not a contract. He made a covenant and a pledge, and he said that he will sprinkle clean water on us, and he'll clean us from all our cleanliness. And he will, good one, Jess. And he will give us a new heart and a new spirit. He removes the heart of stone and he gives us a heart of flesh. This doesn't obviously remove our choice. You're not like little robots that don't get a choice. This is the beautiful beauty of grace and the gospel and the new covenant and who God is. It's like he gives us the ability to even love him, and we just have to take that beautiful gift and love him. There is something really attractive about committed covenant relationships. There's something really, really attractive about it. It's attractive in consistency in marriages, and it's attractive in families, and it's attractive in lifelong friendships. You see these relationships that have withstood the test of time, and there's something really that I really believe in every single one of us that is drawn to that and sees the beauty in that. I want to honor Kimmy and Steve Hewitt tonight because they are actually in April going to be celebrating their 42nd year wedding anniversary. 42 years. 42 years. If you want to sit under some wisdom and learn about covenant, get to know these guys, sit under their wisdom, hear what they have to say about how they've made that work and how they've done that. But I think there's something inside of all of us that goes, wow, when we see these big milestones, and it's like, what? That's attractive to me. That's beautiful to me. I think there's also something really beautiful about friendships that have withstood the test of time. Fred and I are actually going to speak at an event speaking on friendship and talking about how to sustain friendship in the midst of the busyness of life, especially in leadership, because under the pressure of running a church, it really puts your friendship to the test, and it really is like a fire. It's like putting the gold through the fire. But I am privileged to stand here and say I love Fred and Anna more than I ever have, and we've been friends like 11 years since I was about 15. I think I was 14 when I met them, and then we really started doing friendship about 10 years ago and doing life together. And I'm so blessed by these guys, Fred and Anna. And you can hold that for a sec. I wanted to keep building my case here. Sorry. But I think there's something in us that looks at relationships that have withstood the test of time. And I know that's only 10 years. So I feel like at 25, I'll have a lot more authority on this when I'm 50 or 60. But I do think that in my life already, there is fruit because of the choices that I have made in the 25 years that I have had friends. I have more than just on this hand. Like I have probably... Yeah, definitely more than I can count on one hand friendships that have spanned longer than 10 years. One of my best friends, we've been friends our whole life. And if she was here, we would laugh together, and she would be so fine with me saying we were We fought like cats and dogs as kids, to the point where I'm just going to say it really honestly. It was Susanna. Do you guys know Susanna Dobbin? She is one of my best friends in the whole world, and I'm so grateful for who she is and how she challenges me and loves me. I think it's a really beautiful story about what God can do in a friendship, because when we were little, like I'm talking like four, when we were four, our mums actually thought about like not being friends because of how much we fought. Susanna was easy to rile as a kid, and I loved to rile. And so Susanna would say something and mum said I'd get this like evil glint in my eye, and I'd just poke it and poke it and poke it until she was like, ah! And then she'd bite me and then I'd slap or punch her. Yeah. I know. Like, we were four, so a little bit of grace on both of us. But we actually, we had a really beautiful moment when we were 19 where we addressed some of the dynamics in our relationship. And I actually want to honor Susanna for that, because she really initiated that. She was really brave and just called a bunch of stuff that I was like, oh, awkward, like, let's just ignore that and not talk about that. And she just called it, and she was really brave and big and just said, like, let's talk about this. I want to apologize for this. And since, like, that, and that we're 6 years on from that, nearly 7 years on from that. And the beauty of that relationship and the fruit from that relationship, I'm struggling to articulate in words. So I want you guys to understand tonight the beauty of being committed in your relationships. It's bigger than a marriage thing. This is bigger than a marriage thing. It's talking about like going, this friendship might look like the little tree with no leaves and no flowers right now, but I believe that there's life inside these sticks, and I believe that God's bringing a springtime, and I'm actually going to believe in that and watch as he does something really beautiful. How does this tie into expansion? You might be like, this is so random. She's talking just about her friends and her husband. Well, I really believe that covenant is attractive to the world. I believe that, like, as much as it might sound slightly arrogant, but I know that it's not, and it's just a confidence in the beauty of literally God's grace in my life, in these relationships, is that I really believe the friendship that I have with Susanna, the friendship that I've had with Fred and Anna, the marriage that I have with Dan, the friendship that I have with one of my friends, Emma, the friendship that I have with one of my friends, Jackie and Chloe, these friendships that have gone through hell and back but are still on the other side beautiful, actually scream something to Brisbane. When Brisbane sees it, they go, what? You've been through that and you're still friends? You've been through what? And you still love each other, and you love each other more now on the other side. And it's actually so attractive, and it screams Jesus. It screams something bigger than like our human abilities, our humanistic approach to relationships. So that's my third point tonight. Covenant is attractive to the world. If you want to know how we're going to expand, I believe covenant is a part of it. I believe commitment in our marriages, in our friendships, in our commitment to relationships within this church community, that we could actually stick beyond what's comfortable and what we feel like. Referencing back to my marriage with Dan, like we don't always feel understood. And sometimes in church, you don't always feel understood. Sometimes we don't feel like we're getting each other. And sometimes in church, you don't feel like church is getting you. Sometimes we don't see eye to eye. And sometimes in church, I promise you, if you're new, welcome. We love you. We hope you stay. And we can't wait to get to know you. But I promise you that there will be a point where you're probably going to disagree with someone here. I promise. It's like, it's not hard to do. There's been seasons in our marriage where we weren't appreciating each other's talents. And there's going to be seasons where you might not feel like your talents and giftings are feeling appreciated in church. But covenant is God's heart. It reaps beautiful fruit and it screams Jesus to the world. So I implore you tonight to make a commitment in your heart to engage in actual covenant relationships in your life. Expansion is the organic fruit of covenant relationships. Example, in a marriage, often the fruit of a marriage is reproduction. It looks like children. That's just like nature, right? We see that. We go, okay, people get married, then there's children. But I believe that other kind of covenant relationships look like this fruitful reproduction as well. And that's where that expansion comes in. A church family that is engaging in a long-term relational covenant will be so attractive to the community. They'll want in. Expansion will be the natural process. If you're an evangelist and you're passionate about seeking and saving the lost, don't cut yourself off from the community, because it's not going to be attractive to the community. And I'm going to be really honest. I really feel like that's a bit of a strategy that the enemy has used with evangelists who have this burning heart. They have this burning heart for the lost. And so it's like, it's their gifting. It's a blessing. It's a gift that they're gifted to the body of Christ. But the enemy comes in like a little sneaky serpent, just like he did with Eve in the garden. And he comes and whispers in the ear and he says, they're not appreciating you. They're not getting you. You need to just go off. You're going to be more effective on your own. You could get more people saved on your own because this church isn't valuing this enough. Whereas actually, if they could engage, kind of like what Kayla was talking about in giving, it's amazing how much the messages line up tonight. But I feel like if we can engage, no matter what our giftings are, and go, actually, I'm committed. They might not understand me right now, but I'm actually committed, so it doesn't really matter, and I'm going to keep engaging, and we're going to keep talking about it, because I'm not going anywhere. That is attractive to the world. The natural fruit will be expansion. I used this analogy in PSR the other week, and I'm going to use it again. Sorry, Emil. with the band, with the relationship that I have with a bunch of the guys that we write and do worship and write songs together, there's like a commitment to each other that births the songs. If we were just in it for a quick buck, we wouldn't be here. Amen. The end. Like, seriously, these guys gift their songs to this church. They sign away all royalty rights. I'm just going to honor them for a second. So the church gets blessed by the finance. You get blessed by the finance that they write these songs and they give. And none of them are on staff. But there's a commitment. There's a commitment to community. There's a commitment to this group of people that says, hey, we're doing this for life. And we talk about it often, like we can't wait for, you know, a lot of the guys are still like 21, so it's pretty special that in 10 years they'd be 31. And I look forward to the future with excitement and anticipation, knowing that people are going to get married in this house and have kids in this house, and that we'll be still doing this in our 30s and our 40s and 50s, and there's going to be this beautiful family thing that's birthed, and the songs that we write come from that place. And when you're engaging in this kind of relationship that says, hey, I'm committed, you can't tap out when you just disagree. So the example that I used the other day was, I was saying, if Emil has a bad attitude, that I'm like, Emil, that attitude is driving me up the wall, I don't just ignore it because I'm just going to tap out at some point. I'm like, well, we're going to probably be doing life for as long as God blesses us to do this, unless God says otherwise. We're doing this thing forever. So, Emil, can you please change that attitude? Because I don't think I can do that for the next 50 years. he's the best, and that's, I'm picking on him. Should have picked on somebody else. I love you. And vice versa to me. If I do stuff this week, if I do something that isn't cool, Emil will say, Jesse, that's not cool. And I'm like, so sorry. Because we're engaging in honest relationship that actually looks like we want to do this for the long term. You can't just avoid the hard conversations. I can't explain to you how many hard conversations Fred and Anna and I have had. I actually, if there was a scroll, it would run to Brisbane City. That's like a 40-minute drive. It's a long scroll. No, that's probably an exaggeration. But you get the point. Like, that there is a tussle. It's like you engage on a level that's like a family that says, I don't agree. And sometimes we just have to disagree. But oftentimes there's this beautiful thing that happens in committed relationships. It's the same in marriages where it's like God breathes and he speaks and he changes hearts and he brings unity because that's what he does and he makes it beautiful. I promise you, he makes it beautiful. I promise you, young adults that are scared of commitment to literally, you're scared to even the thought of marriage, let alone relationships, friendships, like this thought of commitment. I feel like there's probably some of you tonight that you're like, oh my gosh, that's terrifying that she wants me to commit to like a few people for like as long as I can see. But I promise you the fruit is beautiful. It's really beautiful. When Brad moved to KCC a few years ago, he moved from another church from a very, very wise pastor, Pastor David Taylor. And David Taylor and Brad were having a conversation. And Brad was saying how excited he was because he'd heard this word from God that he was going to be going to KCC. And he was stoked. He was like, oh, this is so exciting. And he said, feeling almost impressed with himself, this is awesome. I could even see myself there for 10 years. Like, this is how much I love this, like, what God's doing. And Dave, Pastor Dave, said, well, Brad, maybe you should see it for life, unless God says otherwise. Maybe you should see it for life, unless God says otherwise. Because the investment that you invest for a 10-year commitment looks very different to an investment for a lifelong commitment. If you're only investing in a 10-year marriage, there's some stuff you're just not even going to bother with because it's going to be over in T minus a few years. But if you're actually like, where I'm in it, I am in this, I'm in this. But come fire, come all of the testing, I'm in it. Then you're going to engage in conversation. You're going to compromise on some things because some things are just not worth it. Honestly, when you're engaging in one, an eternal perspective, but lifelong relationships, there are some things that you actually realize it doesn't matter. I'm on my high horse over nothing. Or maybe it's not nothing, but it's definitely not worth having this little thing for the rest of my life with this friend. And just to back it up biblically, I have a verse to say that covenant can be done in a beautiful way that it is in a marriage. So if you guys want to put the verse up on the screen, 1 Samuel 20, 14 to 17. It's between Jonathan and David before David was king. Jonathan was the son of Saul. Like, talk about complex friendship right here. Let's go there. He's the son of King Saul, who is trying to kill David. That's like if my father Marco was trying to kill Fred. Oh, so funny. Gosh. It was a complex little situation where Saul is actively trying to kill David, and Jonathan up until this point didn't think his dad was. He was like, no, surely not. But he's just watched his dad lose the plot at a banquet, and he's gone, oh my gosh, your dad, you're actually demon-possessed right now, and you're trying to kill my best friend. I'm not even joking. That wasn't like a joking demon-possessed. That was a literal demon-possessed. And so they come together, and it says they both wept bitterly, but David wept more. Can I get an amen, feelers? Amen. But you wept more. I'm a feeler, but I actually don't cry all that much with people. But as soon as I turn around and I'm not with the people, there go the tears. It's probably an issue with weakness that I'm working on. Anyway, hashtag honest. So Jonathan, David, I'm just going to jump straight in. The reason why I wanted to give you that context is I'm just going to read just four verses, which is where they make a covenant. So this is Jonathan now speaking to David. But show me unfailing kindness, like the Lord's kindness, as long as I live, so that I may not be killed. Oh, wait, I want to give a little more context. At this point, Saul's trying to kill David. Jonathan's like, my dad's trying to kill David. Jonathan knows that David's going to be the next king. Everybody knows it. It's like it's just a time bomb ticking waiting to happen, as in everyone knows this is, it's not going to last for Saul, and David is the next rightful king. Jonathan's his best friend. The natural thing that should happen is David should kill everyone from the house of Saul, including Jonathan, because he would be the natural rival, right? Like that's the process. That's what normally would happen. But what Jonathan, what this promise that they're engaging here, it's actually super, you might be like, oh yeah, those best friends making a promise. It was under a lot of pressure, under a lot, like big test on this promise. But show me unfailing kindness, David, like the Lord's kindness, as long as I live, so that I may not be killed. And do not ever cut off your kindness from my family, not even when the Lord has cut off every one of David's enemies from the face of the earth. So Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, may the Lord call David's enemies to account. And Jonathan had David reaffirm his oath out of love for him, because he loved David as he loved himself. So my biblical example of friendship. It's not something that's just exclusive to marriage. Now, I'm not saying that everyone needs to go around cutting covenants, like everyone after the service gets together and they're like finding something that they can kill, like they find a frog outside and they kill it and there's blood and they're like, I cut a covenant with you for life. Like, that's not necessary. I'm not saying do that. We don't need to be weird about it. But I'm just addressing a mindset tonight. I'm addressing a mindset. So point four. Mindset. We view church through the lens of covenant and family. This is how it was always meant to be. We're not meant to date the church. We're actually meant to engage. We're meant to be the church, obviously. But sometimes we do slip into that thinking that Caleb was talking about, where it's like we remove ourselves from the entity and we think of ourselves individually and we kind of like date the church. Like, and it's like, no. This is meant to be a committed relationship. Can I get the band to come and support me on the stage? All right, I'm just going to read a few things because I just wrote my thoughts out and I feel like this is the most efficient way. So you guys ready to come with me for a ride? There's some honest things here. Are you ready? Wherever you go, a different local church, a big city church, Upper Room, Bethel, Elevation, a missions organization, YWAM, independent mission work where you're on your own, or your own church plant, there will be people. Where there are people, there's imperfection. There's going to be an underbelly wherever you go. I know that's a strong word, I'm sorry, but I serve in a church that I was literally a part of starting, and there are things that irritate me sometimes. Like, if you think that going away and starting your own thing is going to fix the problem, it's actually not. Because wherever there's people, there's actually going to have to be this thing of like compromise and commitment and going, actually the commitment here is stronger than my feelings. Just like with a marriage, once you move past the honeymoon phase, there are challenges that you're going to have to conquer. We need to move past the grass is greener thinking. Sometimes maybe the grass is even greener, but that's actually still not reason enough to tap out. It's only in the words of Pastor Dave Taylor when God says, be obedient. Just because it's like actually literally could be greener on the patch next door, ask God. I'm obviously not against people moving churches, and I believe that God has strategically called people to move here and has strategically called people to move out. Again, I'm just addressing a mindset. I feel like it's a bit of, especially in our young adult generation, now I'm speaking to you guys, there's a consumer mindset. I'll start light, okay? My car isn't meeting my needs, I'm getting a new one. My job isn't meeting my needs, and my boss isn't meeting my needs, so I'm getting a new one. Okay, next. My friends are letting me down, so I'm going to throw in the towel and I'm going to get a new one. My church isn't meeting my needs, so I'm going to throw in the towel and I'm going to get a new one. My husband isn't meeting my needs, so I'm going to throw in the towel and I'm going to get a new one. If I could just be a part of that community, if I could just serve under that leader, everything would be better. all my problems would go away. If I could just be married to somebody like that, everything would be different. I'm speaking especially to idealistic people tonight, and I can holler at you. I am so idealistic. Like, ask any of my friends. I have like these big ideals about how the world should be. So I'm speaking from a very personal journey with this. Also, if you are journeying with this, Instagram isn't helping, just delete it. Like, stop following all of the bloggers with their perfect marriages and their perfect edited photos about their perfect travel trips and their perfect children and their perfect the perfect churches. They don't post the crap. So turn it off and live your life and engage with the marriage that you're in and engage with the friends that you're in and engage with the church that you're in, and you will see fruit. Thanks, guys. In summary, because I need to finish, we know that beautiful fruit will flow from covenant. We know it's biblical and it reflects God's heart. We know that covenant is attractive to the world. We know that we're called to view our church family through the lens of covenant. And that can be really challenging. So how do we do this? Practically, how do we do this? I've got just five little practical points. Ready? Firstly, acknowledge that no marriage, friendship, church, or pastor is perfect. Step one, like, actually get it. I know we can say that, but actually get that nowhere is going to be perfect. Number one. Number two, engage in covenant and commitment. It's a game changer. Three, be a part of the solution and serve. Serve, earn some street cred. Fix a problem. Serve. Then, after step three, please, bring things up in a healthy dialogue. This is relevant in your marriage too. Like, I'm talking to married people now. Like, we always want to skip the step three and jump to the dialogue part. Like, you're not doing this and you're not doing this, and I'm engaging in healthy dialogue because I believe in covenant. Actually, have you thought about serving them first? Have you thought about holding your tongue first and actually blessing them and actually buy the flowers, write the card, take the time to listen, engage with what their world is, listen to their stress. Don't go, oh my gosh, I can't believe you're talking about your business again. Actually listen and engage. Actually listen. Too honest? I love you. I love listening. I'm being honest tonight. You guys need honesty because it's a big word that I'm asking you to swallow. So I need you to know that I'm like, I like have to walk this, the gritty as well. So number three, serve. Number four, bring up things in a healthy dialogue. Number five, you will see the fruit. Covenant will produce beautiful, lasting, relational, healthy fruit. Amen. Why don't you guys stand? Awesome. I don't ever want to miss an opportunity to give somebody in this room an opportunity to make a covenant commitment to the Lord, to engage and receive that beautiful promise that I read out before. So if you're in this place tonight and you haven't ever made that commitment to the Lord, or even if you just feel like you haven't been walking with Him and you just want to just, like, you know how people in marriages, they do like their like vow renewal. If you just want to do like a vow renewal again, I just want to give you that opportunity. So if you want to come forward, you are so welcome. Just come on this side because we would love to pray with you. If you feel like God's drawing you, your heart might be beating a little bit faster than it normally does, we would love to pray with you. So never want to miss that opportunity to, yeah, just see someone give their heart to Jesus and make that covenant relationship. But over on this side, I might just get some of the older pastors and maybe like Fred and Anna to come. And if you feel like in this place there's anything unhealed in like a covenant that's been broken, in your life, if there's any promises, or even if you feel like, wow, I feel like I have been in like unhealthy patterns here of like from friend to friend to friend to friend, we would love to pray with you and see that pattern end. There's totally beautiful grace for bad patterns and even bad choices. And so if that's you and you feel like Holy Spirit maybe is moving on your heart, again, we'd love to pray with you. But other than that, we're going to worship for a little bit. And then if you need to go, I'm aware that this message was a slightly longer word. So you are blessed. Be blessed. You may leave. But we're going to worship and pray. So come forward.